Cooper, I am your father.
No, no, no. I am your father.
Who do you love? And will you be loyal to the person you love? That's what all marriages at their root are about, whether they're marriages of lesbians or gay men or heterosexuals.
He probably got out a little bit over his skis, but I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Nigerian 47 cases dropped but not dismissed. Colbert comments can Campbell's critics, and Biden and Obama at the crossroads of queer history. Those stories and more this week now that you've found This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Michael Taylor Gray.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending October 31st, 2020. The case against the Nigerian 47 is over, but it may not really be over. Federal High Court Judge Rilwan Akiwa struck down all charges against the men on October 27th based on lack of diligent prosecution. However, the cases were not dismissed, and the defendants could be rearrested and charged with the same crime at a later time. The 47 men were arrested for being gay in a raid on a Lagos hotel room in 2018. All the defendants claimed that they were just attending a birthday party. They pleaded innocent to police charges that they were participating in an initiation into a gay club. The lack of diligent prosecution ruling was a judicial understatement. No witnesses appeared over the course of several postponements, and the prosecutor failed to show up to argue the case in the latest court hearing. Homophobia is entrenched in Nigerian society, condemned by both Muslim and Christian leaders. The West African country passed laws banning marriage equality in 2014 and made same-gender sex punishable by up to 14 years in prison. Anyone who registers, operates, or participates in gay clubs, societies, and organizations, or directly or indirectly makes public show of same-sex amorous relationships, is also subject to up to 10 years in prison. This was seen by some as a test case because it was the first prosecution under those laws. In view of the court ruling, Emmanuel Sadi of the Initiative for Equal Rights urged the government to remove or repeal those laws as unenforceable.
The Nigerian 47 are free, at least for now, but the scars from their experiences will last a lifetime. Each man has been stigmatized ever since they were identified by police in a televised news conference the day after the raid. Taxi driver Onyeka Ogwangamba says he merely drove people to the party. He's glad the case has been struck down, but since it was not dismissed entirely, and he can still be rearrested at any time under Nigerian law, he told Reuters, "I am not happy because I'm looking for the matter to end in a way that people will see me and believe what I have been saying from the beginning." Chris Agariga was also caught up in the raid and has been ostracized by his family. He told Reuters, "This has caused a lot of damage in my life."
An ordinance that protects the rights of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgenders, queers, and intersex people in the city of Manila against any and all forms of discrimination solely on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity or expression is now in effect. Mayor Isko Moreno signed the law on October 29th. A number of other municipalities in the Philippines have already enacted similar legislation, but passage of the ordinance in the nation's capital city is seen as a significant advance. First-time violators in Manila face up to 6 months in jail, heavy fines, or both. The mayor and members of the city council wore rainbow-themed face masks to mark the official announcement of the new laws. Mayor Moreno said, "Everyone should be treated equally, respected, understood, and be shown compassion. We are all equal here. We will not allow discrimination." The ordinance also creates the Manila Gender Sensitivity and Development Council. Its members are appointed by the mayor and charged with monitoring complaints of violations and assisting victims of anti-queer bias. In the wake of Manila's move, equality activists are turning up the heat on the government of President Rodrigo Duterte to pass similar legislation at the national level. According to PhilStar.com, an LGBTQ anti-discrimination bill has been stalled in Congress since it was introduced more than two decades ago.
More than 14,500 people have signed an online petition published by Estonia's Green Party to amend the country's Family Act to open civil marriage to gay and lesbian couples. The petition can still be signed until December 24th, but it's already surpassed the 1,000 signature threshold and must now be debated in the legislature. Green leader Kasper Kurve marveled at how quickly the petition qualified for legislative debate and at the support voiced by members of other parties. He said, "Society has given an extremely clear message which can no longer be overlooked." However, a public opinion poll conducted in June found 55% of Estonian respondents voicing opposition to marriage equality. During a recent interview with Deutsche Welle's Russian language news service, Interior Minister Mart Helme advised LGBTQ people to all move to Sweden. He called anyone opposed to civil marriage being limited to one man and one woman a heterophobe. But President Kirsti Kaljulaid and Prime Minister Jyri Ratas quickly condemned Helme's inflammatory remarks. A referendum on amending Estonia's constitution to create marriage equality is reportedly set for some time next year.
Chile's leading queer advocacy group has pulled out of a marriage equality and adoption rights agreement with the government. This according to the Washington Blade. Tired of waiting for the government of equality-resistant President Sebastián Piñera to act, the Movement for Homosexual Integration and Liberation, or MOHIL, announced its formal withdrawal on October 16th. That was the very day a Chilean Senate committee held a hearing on the languishing bill. It began in 2012 when MOHIL filed a lawsuit at the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights demanding marriage equality on behalf of three queer Chilean couples. The group subsequently signed onto an agreement with the commission and the government of then-President Michelle Bachelet, charting a path to marriage equality. A civil unions bill took effect in 2015, with the promise of full marriage equality legislation the following year. Then, in January 2018, the Inter-American Court of Human Rights ordered all 20 members of the Organization of American States that had not already done so to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples. Legislation in Chile is still stalled. MOHIL spokesperson Oscar Rementerra said in a press release that if the Piñera administration reverses course, we are willing to resume the dialogue with the government to reactivate the agreement that the state signed with MOHIL.
The Texas Behavioral Health Executive Council voted unanimously on October 27th to restore anti-bias provisions to the Code of Conduct for the State Board of Social Work Examiners. Those anti-discrimination protections were removed in mid-October under pressure from Texas Republicans Governor Greg Abbott and Attorney General Ken Paxton. The council vote came after an immediate national uproar, including a petition posted by the Texas chapter of the National Association of Social Workers that was signed by more than 24,000 people. However, the council also asked Attorney General Paxton for his legal opinion on the issue. That drew concern from Equality Texas, the state's leading queer rights group. They described Paxton as an attorney general who has built his career in part on promoting discrimination against LGBT plus Texans. Texas laws do not protect LGBTQ people from discrimination. Democrats State Senator Jose Menendez from San Antonio and State Representative Jessica Gonzalez from Dallas both pushed the council to restore the protections. They said they'd file legislation next year to protect marginalized groups from discrimination.
Finally, the Grimm's fairy tale with Trump henchman Mike Pompeo as the villain ends happily. The U.S. State Department has given up trying to deny citizenship to babies born abroad via surrogate to married gay and lesbian parents. Two couples had lawsuits in federal court challenging the State Department's claim that their children had been born out of wedlock, even though their parents are married same-gender couples. U.S. citizenship under similar circumstances is automatic if the parents are heterosexual. In August, the State Department appealed a federal court decision affirming the U.S. citizenship of Chevy Chase, Maryland fathers Roe and Adiel Kiviti's child. Little Kesem was born in 2019 to a surrogate in Canada. The department was expected to appeal a similar ruling involving married Atlanta, Georgia gay dads Derek Mees and Jonathan Gregg, whose surrogacy child was born in England. Both couples were represented by the queer advocacy groups Immigration Equality and Lambda Legal. Their attorneys announced on October 27th that the appeal in the Kiviti case had been formally withdrawn and that no appeal would be pursued in the Mees-Gregg case. A statement issued by the Mees-Gregg family said of their daughter that, "All we ever wanted was for Simone to be treated fairly. This process has affirmed for us that standing up for equal treatment is always right, no matter how difficult it is or how long it may take."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending October 31st, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry. Stay healthy.
And I'm Michael Taylor Gray. Stay safe.
The openly gay Academy Award-winning filmmaker never shied away from controversial material. Groundbreaking for his day, he introduced gay themes into mainstream British and American films.
His name is on the tip of your tongue, but first...
Still crazy after all these years.
Another name is still on the tip of your tongue, but the character the name represents changed dramatically this time 5 years ago. Early on in the persona transition, This Way Out's Greg Gordon reported on how he still outflanked the right, just from a different direction.
Stephen Colbert may not be playing an ersatz conservative commentator on Comedy Central anymore, but as the new host of CBS's The Late Show, he's still skewering right-wing homophobes.
If I know one thing about my viewers, is that you watch TV. And one of the best things about TV to me is the commercials. They're like these mini shows that always end up with the same heartwarming message. Buy something.
Dun, 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 dun.
Cooper,
I am your father.
No, no, no. I am your father.
That's got to be the worst Vader ever.
Campbell's Star Wars Soups.
How about you be Chewbacca?
Made for real, real life.
You may have noticed that family had two dads. Here's the thing. This is Star Wars, and this is soup. So naturally, some people are angry out there. In this case, the mother-based activist group 1 Million Moms. They promote fundamentalist Christian values by, as far as I can tell, getting mad at TV commercials. And they claim that Campbell's Soup is glorifying this unnatural marriage, and this gay-inclusive commercial is attempting to desensitize viewers.
Psst, nobody tell them about Andy Warhol.
And the moms had some strong words for the company, saying, quote, "This is a marketing decision Campbell's will regret. Yes, nothing will teach Campbell's a lesson more than free publicity." I mean, if it wasn't for those 1 million moms, I wouldn't have shown that whole commercial just now. That'll teach ya!
real-life gay dads Larry Sullivan and David Monahan and their son Cooper starred in that Campbell Soup ad with comedic commentary by a still-stirring-the-pot Stephen Colbert.
Still crazy. Still crazy.
That was This Way Out's Greg Gordon with a note from Stephen Colbert's transition from parody patriot to late night ally 5 years ago, proving that some jokes never get old.
People don't want to see a president who seems to be, on the advice of political operatives or otherwise, holding back or dancing. They want to see a president lead.
Look, I am Vice President of the United States of America. The president sets the policy.
Are bygones bygones? Later in the program. Our LGBTQ history reflections continue with a movie director so famous you might forget his gayness.
Director John Schlesinger, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. As director of many films, stage productions, and television programs, John Schlesinger was a big name in the British entertainment industry. Born in London in 1926, he attended college in Oxford, where he got his first taste of acting and filmmaking. The openly gay Academy Award-winning filmmaker never shied away from controversial material. Groundbreaking for his day, he introduced gay themes into mainstream British and American films. His 1969 film, Midnight Cowboy, depicted New York City hustlers and gigolos. And his 1971 film, Sunday Bloody Sunday, was the first major film to portray a romantic relationship between two men. Having found his niche, Schlesinger continued using gay themes right up to his death in 2003. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios of WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, David Ryder.
I'm a little tired of the weary throwaway line that there is no such thing as the gay sensibility. Of course there is such a thing as the gay sensibility. Of course gay men and women think in some fundamental ways differently from straight. It is not just about what we do in bed. It is about the echoes in the culture of who we are or who we aren't. Hi, I'm Clive Barker. Listen to This Way Out.
We don't know how the U.S. elections will turn out when all is said and done, but we do know the impact two key players in the current campaign had on LGBTQ history. This Way Out's Greg Gordon reported in May of 2012.
Said that he was evolving on the issue, so much so that his evolution had become the butt of many political jokes. But this week, President Barack Obama reached the zenith of his long climb to finally embrace full civil marriage equality for gays and lesbians. The Obama administration has already taken several actions in support of same-gender couples, including executively ordered benefits for the partners of lesbian and gay federal workers, and a refusal to defend court challenges to the constitutionality of the Defense of Marriage Act's denial of federal recognition to legal same-gender unions. There were reports that Obama had actually evolved a few months ago, and a formal announcement of his change of heart was expected a few weeks before the Democratic Party convention in September. But comments by Vice President Joe Biden on the May 6th broadcast of NBC TV's Meet the Press change that timetable.
You know, the president has said that his views on gay marriage, on same-sex marriage, have evolved, but he's opposed to it. You're opposed to it. Have your views evolved?
Look, I just think the good news is that as more and more Americans come to understand what this is all about is a simple proposition. Who do you love? Who do you love? And will you be loyal to the person you love? And that's what people are finding out is what all marriages at their root are about. Whether they're marriages of lesbians or gay men or heterosexuals.
Is that what you believe now?
That's what I believe.
And you're comfortable with same-sex marriage now?
I am Vice President of the United States of America. The president sets the policy. I am absolutely comfortable with the fact that men marrying men, women marrying women, and heterosexual men and women marrying another are entitled to the same exact rights, all the civil liberties. And quite frankly, I don't see much of a distinction beyond that.
Evan Wolfson of Freedom to Marry, which advocates for U.S. marriage equality, discussed the Biden comments on the May 7th edition of MSNBC's The Rachel Maddow Show.
I've known Joe Biden, Vice President Biden, since I interned him for him in the Senate in 1976. And I saw him on TV, like I think every viewer did, opening his heart and changing his mind. And that's the very same journey that so many Americans have been on. I think that was sincere and very much what he believes. And it is what a majority of the Democrats believe. It's what a majority of independents believe. It's what a majority of Catholics believe. And it's what a majority of Americans believe. But, you know, evolving is not evolved. And evolve is not evade.
Right.
And so at some point, there comes a time where even people who may not really care that much or may not even be for the freedom to marry don't want to see inauthenticity. They don't want to see a president who seems to be on the advice of political operatives or otherwise holding back or dancing. They want to see a president lead.
The president and his advisors apparently decided that his hand had been forced. In what was described as a hastily arranged interview with ABC TV's Robin Roberts on May 9th, Obama became the first sitting U.S. president to embrace civil marriage equality. Excerpts from that interview were aired the following day on the network's Good Morning America.
I've been going through an evolution on this issue, and I had hesitated on gay marriage, in part because I thought civil unions would be sufficient. But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are in incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together, at a certain point I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married. And I continue to believe that this is an issue that is going to be worked out at the local level because historically this has not been a federal issue.
But Mr. President, it's not being worked out on the state level. We saw that Tuesday in North Carolina, the 30th state, to in essence ban gay marriage.
What I'm saying is that different states are coming to different conclusions. I think it's important to recognize that folks who feel very strongly that marriage should be defined narrowly as between a man and a woman. Many of them are not coming at it from a mean-spirited perspective. A bunch of them are friends of mine, pastors and people who I deeply respect.
Especially but in the black community.
Absolutely.
It is very
right.
A difficult conversation to
absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely. But I think it's important for me to say to them that as much as I respect them, as much as I understand where they're coming from, when I meet gay and lesbian couples, for me, I think it just has tipped the scales in that direction.
As they strolled the White House grounds, Roberts asked Obama about Vice President Biden's Meet the Press comments.
Did he jump the gun a little bit here?
I had already made a decision that we were going to try to take this position before the election and before the convention. He probably got out a little bit over his skis, but out of generosity of spirit.
So you're not upset with anybody?
Would I have preferred to have done this in my own way, in my own terms, without, I think, there being a lot of notice to everybody? Sure. But all's well that ends well.
The president said that one catalyst for his evolution was close to home.
You know, Malia and Sasha, they've got friends whose parents are same-sex couples. It wouldn't dawn on them that somehow their friends' parents would be treated differently. And frankly, that's the kind of thing that prompts a change of perspective. You know, not wanting to somehow explain to your child why somebody should be treated differently when it comes to the eyes of the law. Some of this is also generational. You know, when I go to college campuses, sometimes I talk to college Republicans who think that I have terrible policies on the economy or on foreign policy, but are very clear that when it comes to same-sex mm-hmm. equality sexual orientation, that they believe in equality.
Near the end of the interview, ABC TV's Robin Roberts asked the president if he'd considered the political ramifications of his announcement.
I think it'd be hard to argue that somehow this is something that I'd be doing for political advantage, because, frankly, the politics, it's not clear how they cut. But I'm not going to be spending most of my time talking about this because, frankly, my job as president right now, my biggest priority is to make sure that we're growing the economy, that we're putting people back to work.
Did you discuss this with Mrs. Obama, the same-sex marriage issue?
She feels the same way that I do. We're both practicing Christians, and obviously this position may be considered to put us at odds with the views of others. But, you know, when we think about our faith, the thing at root that we think about is not only Christ sacrificing himself on our behalf, but it's also the golden rule. I figure the more consistent I can be in being true to those precepts, the better I'll be as a dad and a husband, and hopefully the better I'll be as a president.
Mr. President, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I gladly sail the seven seas for just one reprise of those good old days.
That May 2012 report by This Way Out's Greg Gordon. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Tanya Kane Perry and Michael Taylor Gray, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Greg Gordon, and from David Ryder, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns. Paul Simon, John Barry, Triumph, Mary Hopkin, and Victor Garber performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, a bequest from the late Christopher David Trentum, and donors Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WBSU, Brockport, New York, KTAL Las Cruces, New Mexico, 5GTR Mount Gambier, South Australia, and a wide array of community, terrestrial, and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay safe, y'all.
Yeah, we can make it happen. We can make it happen.
And stay tuned.